Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthian Christians, chapter 4, reading just verses 7 through 10. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, yet not despairing, persecuted, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This is our text. Dear people of God, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found on the northwest corner of the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on this earth. They were found in four caves, all pretty much near each other. In them were shards of pottery and scraps of paper, but also in those caves were clay jars, whole jars, and in them was stuffed scrolls of Holy Scripture written over 2,000 years ago. They are the oldest writings that we have in the world. It was written before the Apostle Paul wrote these words before us in the book of 2 Corinthians. The good scrolls were animal skins that they wrote on, rolled up real tight, and stuffed into these clay jars. There were scraps everywhere in the caves, but the best thing that they found were old clay jars with the Word of God in it. You get it? The Apostle Paul calls himself and all of us clay jars. Clay jars are cheap and worthless, and I know people around here sell them, so no offense, please, but what is a clay jar? It's mud. Mud that has been formed by a variety of techniques and then baked. The nice ones are painted and decorated, but at the end of the day, it's still a fragile clay jar. We are nothing but clay jars, cheap and worthless to the world. But if these jars have the Word of God in them, then we are priceless. The Apostle Paul plays with that picture a bit. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. The round shape, the shape of a jar, is the strongest shape. Think of an airplane tube or those culverts they put under the highway with tons of trucks going over them. Or even a circle, an arch is just nothing but a half a circle. That round shape is the strongest shape because it spreads out the force so it doesn't all apply to one part of the circle. A round clay jar is incredibly strong for what it is. This certainly has a breaking point to it, but it can stand up to a lot, just like those jars with the Dead Sea Scrolls in them. We, clay jars, are hard pressed by this world in a number of ways. By our finances, in our relationships, by our children, in our jobs, or even in the made-up worries that live in our heads, not to mention the violence of this world. Whatever it is that keeps you up at night, we stare at the ceiling and we wonder, how can we go on? Well, in Christ, we are not crushed. We don't give up. We don't run away. We don't commit suicide. We are people of faith in Christ, the Lord who created everything, the Lord who sustained Joseph as he was in prison all those years unjustly. The Lord who sustained the Israelites in their captivity in Egypt and Babylon. He can help us. For our own Lord Jesus knew very well what it was to be hard pressed on every side. Jesus was whipped. Jesus was pierced. Jesus was mocked as he hung upon that cross for us. He understands what it is to be hard pressed. He can help us. We are perplexed, yet not despairing. Paul kind of leaves the clay jar picture here, but the idea is still in play. We're fragile. We're not very strong. We're not the best. We have imperfections, we have weaknesses, just like a jar has, or we sinners have. We are perplexed. We don't understand what's going on in the world. We wonder how things can be so wicked. We wonder what God is doing. He says that he has a plan. He says that he's in control. But I can't see that. Perplexed, but not despairing. I don't know, but I trust the Lord because of his word, because of the actual Holy Scriptures, not the made up word that people have in their minds, but the word of God that I read that now lives in me and in my soul tells me that God does know what he's doing. And that he's working on a great victory for himself, for me, and for his beloved church. We are persecuted, yet not forsaken. It feels like everyone is out to get me. Government regulations and taxes, job expectations and assignments, family obligations and guilt. Everyone sees me as an easy target. Whether you're too kind to say no, or whether you're too scared to stand up, or whether you just don't want to deal with the hassle, this world takes every advantage of us. It sees us as opportunities, and like the wolves that they are, they pounce when they can. We're not forsaken. You know what? The world is out to get you. Jesus himself said that in the upper room. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. You are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it. For that reason, the world hates you. Remember the saying I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. But who cares? We have the Lord Jesus on our side. He has not forsaken or left you. Luther said, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom, ours remaineth. And I'm not saying that it's easy. All I'm saying is that the Lord is still on your side. You have not been forsaken. We are struck down, yet not destroyed. The Apostle Paul was stoned with stones, and he was left for dead more than once. Be ready for anything, people. My mother tells me that she thinks the end of the world is coming because things are so wicked and so anti-Christian right now. I tell her I don't think so. I think things can get a lot worse. Christians are still allowed to own property. I haven't been put in jail yet. Our churches have not been burned down yet. Things can get a lot worse. But even if they do, we will not be destroyed. Let the world rage and yell. Let them boast about their sin and take pride in them. Let them outlaw our preaching. Let them mock us. Let them stone us. We will not be destroyed because we have Christ. Oh, they can destroy the body, like Jesus said they can, but it's God who sends people to hell, especially those who mess with his beloved church. The last line of our text is kind of a riddle. It says, we always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We carry around in our bodies the death of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul certainly walked with a limp because of all the beatings he took in the name of Christ. And many of us also have worn out bodies that we will hand to the Lord at the end as used. That's pretty much all these earthly tents are good for. Some people worship their bodies. For us, it's really just a way to get to church. And they are daily reminders in their aches and pains that this world is not our goal. This world is not our end. One day this will all be dust. My Savior died, and I will die too. But my Savior rose from the dead. Jesus once said that he is the life. He is and he gives eternal life. It's not the kind of life that a doctor can revive with electric paddles, but it's a life that only the creator of life can give in his paradise. It's a life that you have right now. You who believe in him as your savior from hell, you have a real eternal life now in Jesus. These worn out bodies, these cracked jars of clay, one day, they will be glorified. One day, they will again run and they will jump into the arms of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, when we finally get to see him as he is. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.